Hey, 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 carrot heads. This is Trevor Mock, the host of the Carrot Cast. And this episode is going to be a little bit, it was definitely when I recorded this episode with Ryan Berry, one of our carrot clients, but insanely good marketer. I was going into the episode intending to get one thing out of Ryan, you know, to pry some information out of him. And I came out of the episode with a whole different set of information and content that you're going to absolutely love, that I'm glad the conversation went that way. Okay. And if you guys know me at all or have followed me at all, you know, I'm the CEO here of a company called Carrot Software as a Service Company. We mainly work with real estate investors, a lot of agents as well. But my background, really, I love marketing. You know, my college degree was a marketing and entrepreneurship degree, and it's kind of funny, you know, when you get into the real world and really actually start to try to market, start to try to attract customers and clients, you know, you really learn pretty darn fast how little you know about marketing from college, or how little you know about marketing from, you know, just the basic stuff that most people put out there. And what I really found in those next 2, 3, 4 years out of college, and as I was growing my own companies, you know, both in real estate and outside of real estate, is I found that one of the most effective methods of marketing was something called direct response marketing. You know, that's where you're actually creating a marketing message that requires a response, or that elicits a response right away from that client. So if you're watching a late night infomercial and you see the ShamWow guy there trying to sell you the squeegee, the magical squeegee, they have the phone number, hey, call now and we'll throw in the second one free if you, you know, that kind of thing. That's direct response marketing. They're not saying, go to your local Lowe's store and blah. It's like, let's call now and let's get this thing done. And that's what we found is the most effective with generating motivated house sellers, cash buyers, tenants, you know, all that kind of stuff. You know, even if you're selling clothes or toilets or any of that kind of stuff, direct response marketing is kind of where I have always leaned, because you get an immediate response. You get an immediate, you know, reply, and you can tell if something is working once people land on your marketing message and see it. Today's guest is actually a guy who helped craft some of the best direct response marketing. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that's almost in the history of direct response marketing, at least in the past 20 years. And probably almost every person on this call has seen or read or heard about some of the marketing that Ryan has been a part of. And to give you some back history, Ryan was and is a copywriter, and a copywriter by trade, for those of you guys are not familiar with the marketing term of copywriter, it's a person who puts words onto paper, a person who, you know, uses their knowledge of how people work and how people act and human psychology and sales processes and sales psychology, and puts those marketing messages on paper. It could be a, you know, I'm using that word figuratively too. Paper could be your website. It could be a pay-per-click ad. It could be a direct mail piece, an advertorial, whatever it is. It's the person who sits down and actually writes that marketing message that's compelling. Well, Ryan was a part of that team, as you'll hear in this podcast, with one of the biggest marketing campaigns that I know of. I tore these ads out of the back of the magazine at the airports because these ads were so good. And well, I'm not going to tell you what this is right now, but I guarantee you guys have heard about it. It's a very, very common product that these people made into a huge, huge multi-100-million-dollar-a-year company with great, great copywriting. And Ryan's going to show you how he has taken that knowledge in his previous career, and also how he's taken some, you know, kind of his background, you know, growing up, where his family just didn't have, you know, very much financial means, and some of the mindset shifts that he had to make himself around money. And some of the mindset shifts that he had to make to be really successful as a real estate investor, and also some of the marketing that he's doing in his market that's completely different than his competitors, and how he's cracking through that market and doing multiple deals a month as a carrot client, but also using direct mail in a big way. And there's a couple things that he's doing that I guarantee 9 out of 10 investors are not doing. I'm surprised he shared them with us on this Carrot Cast, and you guys are going to learn a lot from this interview with Ryan. So tune in for the rest of this call here, guys and gals. I'm going to turn it over to Ryan here in a second. But before I do, as always, head over to our website, oncarrot.com, and check us out. Look at our other blogs, our other articles, our other free resources. And also go to carrotcast.com and give us a rating. If you enjoy what you're hearing here, if you enjoy what you're listening to and absorbing, and the guests on here, give us a rating, guys. We'd really love the support. It really helps us to get our word, get our message out there to more people, so we can amplify more leaders, so we can amplify more people to go out there and make an impact with their businesses. And the better we can help our clients do, the better we can help our listeners do as a real estate investor or as a real estate agent or just as a person in general, the more impact we can make as a company. And that's what we're really about. That's why we launched the Carrot Cast. So strap in, guys and gals. We're going to get going, and let's welcome on in Ryan to this call.
Yeah, I mean, I put myself in a position of not, you know, not being able to fail. I had to succeed. Mm-hmm. I had to.
Hey everyone, this is Trevor with Investor Carrot coming at you with another Carrot Cast. And these Carrot Casts have been really, really fun for me. It's just really fun hopping on with investors, with entrepreneurs who are what I call high achievers, people who really don't settle for okay. You know, they're not okay with okay. They want to go out there and really build a great life, build a, you know, make a great impact with their business, and get away from the rigmarole that most people call life. So that's really something amazing, just talking through stories with entrepreneurs and real estate investors. Many of the investors we've talked with are active Investor Carrot members, and they leverage Investor Carrot for their online lead generation. Some aren't. So what we're really aiming at doing when we dive into these Carrot Casts is talking with active investors and what's working well for them. You know, what's the backstory? How did they get to where they are? What's their business look like? What are those quick tips that you guys can implement in your business or in your life to get better results out of it? And I'm really excited to have today's guest on, Ryan Berry. And Ryan is a Carrot member. Him and I were connecting back and forth on email. And this is back, you know, fall of last year. And Ryan and I were talking about it right before this call. And I said, man, I was going through our emails before here just to kind of remember what we were chatting about and things back last fall. And I'm going to pull up the email thread right here because I was just reading through it. Like, it's really cool stuff. So Ryan and I were connecting. Where did we go here? Un momento, guys and gals. Yeah, Ryan and I were connecting. And I know he'd closed some deals. He's getting some pretty consistent leads in. And then I reached out to him and said, hey, dude, what about doing some sort of podcast? And you sent us an email, like, with a screenshot of your email account showing how many leads you were getting. And then a deal that you'd close, like, that day, netting 30-something grand with a check in it. And that really, I'm like, man, I love that stuff. Let's figure out what Ryan's doing. Let's figure out what he's doing that's working really well in his business right now, whether it's the online stuff or anything else. Let's dig into your backstory and kind of learn about what makes you tick and learn about where you're going to go. So welcome onto the call, Ryan. Insanely, insanely happy to have you.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, so a little bit of backstory on you. So you're up in Ohio, right?
Yeah,
cool.
I'm one of the crazy ones left that still live here in Ohio. We have a lot of family up here, and my wife, and I don't know. I like the warmer weather, but she won't let us move until we get to, kids through school and stuff.
Home is home, man. So if that's where home is, amazing. But so you're in Ohio. What city in Ohio specifically is your main market?
Main market is Stark County, Ohio, but North Canton. It's the home of the Basically, Stark County is the home of the Football Hall of Fame. It's kind of what we're known for here.
No, that's awesome. And you were mentioning, when we were chatting on the phone the other day, you were mentioning a massive development or redevelopment they're doing at the Hall of Fame there.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how many millions they're putting in, but it's a whole new stadium. It's going to be basically a 15,000 seat NFL stadium now. So high school usually plays there. Uh-huh. And they're having interactive everything. It's just going to be a real interactive kind of environment for people. They're planning on it infusing so much money into this market. You know, I think about 7 or 8 hotels have been built here in the last year.
Dude, so are you a Bengals fan or you're a Browns fan or neither?
No, Browns fan. a Carrot fan. I'm a Carrot fan.
There we go. Hey, you got the shirt on. Dude, I didn't even wear my shirt today. I had two of these Carrot Casts today, and I walked into the office and go, damn, I should have had my shirt on. But I've got the blue shirt on today. But, man, I'm really excited about diving in and just kind of give people a little bit of perspective for your business. So you're in Ohio. And your business is called Global Real Estate Solutions. Is that correct? Is that
right.
Your holding
company? Yeah, I have three different. Well, Global Real Estate Solutions is the main one. I have Global Rental Property and Global House Buyers.
Cool. And then your website's with us anyway. I know you got your main site with this Global Real Estate Solutions. Then 7 days to sold, I think, is
yep. 7 days to sold.com is my main seller buyer, you know, or seller site.
Awesome. And it looks like you guys have a good amount of leads coming in there. We'll dive into that stuff later. But, dude, what's your business look like right now? What does your business look like right now? Are you a solo operation? Do you have a team? If you don't mind sharing whatever you want to, like what kind of volume are you guys doing? Even if it's one deal every 6 months or six a month, I don't care what it is. You guys are doing some stuff right. What's your current business look like right now?
Yeah, so we're on fire right now. Actually, my son's in college, just came back from, he goes to Grove City, PA, and he's back here. I have him now doing a lot of my marketing and putting all the kinds of training manuals in place, because when he goes back to college, I'm getting somebody else here over the summer, and we'll see what happens from there. But we're just exploding right now. I was involved in a lot of different things. We can get into that, but once I really started focusing on real estate, it just blew up. Mm-hmm. So,
I love it. Yeah. And your boards are full behind you. It looks like, I mean, the one on, I guess it'd be your right, my left looking at it. You've got a bunch of stuff up there, and I kind of want to dig into what you've got set up in your office a little bit later, because I know for me, what you surround yourself with in your work environment is really, really important. And how you structure, that work environment to best streamline your business operations, to best also just get that stuff in front of you, you know, so you can see that pulse of how your business is doing. That's a big deal. So I want to touch on that here in a bit. Okay. But how did you get into real estate? How long have you been in it? Did you start with wholesaling and flipping, or did you move to that later? Kind of what's your story been like?
Yeah. So, I mean, my background is I was very poor as a kid. We had, my parents got divorced when I was 10, and I decided, you know, get a job or go to college, get a job. And that's how I'm going to get, you know, be wealthier than everybody else in my family. Mm-hmm. I had really been driven, you know, to succeed, because we didn't have much when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And so I went to school. I got my master accounting degree. I was a CPA for a while, believe it or not. And then I got bored to death because I'm more of an entrepreneurial salesman's heart. But I went back and got my MBA. Thought, man, more education will give me even more money, and it did, but not enough, you know. And then I started I got involved with a local marketing, direct marketing company, as a controller, and moved up to vice president of operations, and then ultimately got into marketing because I took some initiative and became vice president of marketing for that company. And I'm sure we talked about it, you know, the Amish fireplaces. So we sold lots and lots of Amish fireplaces. but I learned a lot about direct marketing in that business. And while I was doing that, I all the time always wanted to have my own business. So I was doing real estate on the side, building a little bit of a rental portfolio, doing a couple flips here and there, but not full time. But so about 3 years ago, I decided, you know what? I'm not going to work 70 hours a week anymore for somebody else. I got to do this for myself. Or, you know, I got four kids and a wife. So I was like, I think I control my own schedule, my own destiny, and be in charge. And so I just put my 2 week notice in and left. I don't advise that to anybody on the call listening to this, but
so you went cold turkey then. You're like, I know what I have now as far as work scenario is not what I want. So I'm just going to go cold turkey and go after what I think is going to get me closer to it.
Yeah. I mean, I put myself in a position of not, you know, not being able to fail. I had to succeed. Mm-hmm. I had to. I mean, you know, I have to support my wife and my kids. My wife's a nurse, so she went back to work full time to allow me to do this, and that really helped. But, you know, so yeah, I mean, it was kind of scary, but the first year was really tough out. Met some great people, got a good coach, started doing short sales and a lot of rehabs. I've done probably 12 rehabs in the last 2 years or so. Myself managed. And then I was noticing something here locally, and that is, well, first of all, I did a wholesale deal, and I made 20, not one of these ones we talked about, but a different one that a realtor brought to me, and I made $20,000 in like a week. And I said, okay, that was a lot easier than managing these rehabs. So I thought, you know, there's got to be a better market for wholesale. So I really started focusing on finding, you know, other people that are doing rehabs. And what I would notice is that either I was, because I'm not doing the work myself and whatever, I could wholesale these deals out to other rehabbers and make 75% of the money I would make, or 80%, you know, within a week or a day or a week, just depends, of, you know, instead of having to wait 6 months to get my money, because when you rehab, it takes a long time to, you know, to turn it to cash. I mean, you got a couple, 2 to 3 months of rehab work, plus a month to sell it, plus the 2 months to close. I mean, so you're talking 6 months before you see your money.
And you've got the outlay of cash to do the rehab or the private money that's going in to do it. Exactly. So, yeah.
Yeah. So I do a lot, primarily wholesales and building a rental portfolio now. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So what's your, I want to kind of dig into that a little bit. So one thing I'm really passionate about and always trying to think of myself is, okay, let's have a short term, like your active income, right? The thing that I'm doing now to make income, but let's always have a long term plan for that income or for the wealth building. And that's one thing I'll talk with a lot of quote unquote investors, a lot of real estate entrepreneurs who are doing flipping or wholesaling or whatever, and they don't really have that long term plan. They're taking that cash and they're just treating it like a high paying job. And to me, man, that's like, I'm not going to say it's definitely not worse than working for someone else, but you could be trapping yourself in this job with no real long-term strategy and how that's going to help you reach the life that you want to live over the long term. What for you, I guess, what for you is your overall strategy? Are you taking some of that cash flow from your flips and wholesales and like you mentioned, pumping it into the real estate portfolio? Is that a very conscious decision you're making? Or are you just kind of picking up rental properties here and there?
Yeah, so hopefully this will help some people not make the same mistakes that I made. But, mm-hmm. you know, when I had a high-paying job, you know, I was making lots of money. And, you know, so – but I never had anything when I was a kid, right? I didn't have any nice – I had to wear $8 shoes, you know, to eighth grade, and it was embarrassing. So mm-hmm. I had to make sure my kids had, you know, nice shoes, and I had a nice car, nice house, all these things – that were acquired with debt. Mm-hmm. And what I've come to realize here, after being on my own, is debt is really the enemy.
Yeah.
Especially non-cash flow producing debt. Mm-hmm. So right now what I'm trying to focus on is getting completely out of debt. Mm-hmm. And then having my income, my lifestyle bills be X dollars a month, and then have my passive income be X times five. Really, I want to be at five times my monthly needs every month passively, so I can keep buying more and more passive properties and, you know, do a lot of charity work and travel and those kind of things, you know, not have to worry about, you know, because it is, no matter whether you're working for yourself or you're working for somebody else, if you're on the, you know, active income path, you're really, I mean, you got to do deals or you're going to die. I mean, mm-hmm. so, but if you buy the passive, buy the rental properties. And here in Canton, I can get properties from, you know, $30,000 for a house. I mean, and they rent out for $700 a month. So that return on investment is ridiculous. Yeah.
That's insane. I wish we were able to get them out here like that. Even in small town Oregon, I live in Roseburg, Oregon, which, you know, we are nowhere near the market that Portland is. Portland's market is insane. I mean, I was telling Alex on the podcast I did, recently with him, Alex Pardo, on a previous Carrotcast. I tell him, I'm like, man, it's worse now than it was in 2005 or 2006 up there. I mean, it's insane. We're not getting any of that coming down here, but still, we can't get a rental property for, if it's a single family, for less than 65, maybe 50 if it's like a pretty, you got to put a little bit of work into it. Right. So markets like that you guys are in, there's others like that. You know, Baltimore, you can get them for even cheaper, but there's reasons why. Mm-hmm. And there's other markets, Indianapolis, and you know, there's a bunch of other ones like that, that the rental properties are really affordable, yet rents are still staying, you know, really consistent and strong. So, that's a great, great thing to do when you're in a market like that, or just deploy your cash into markets like that where people can manage them for you. Are you managing your properties yourself? Or do you have a property manager?
I just, I, you know, I am constantly on the phone with sellers. Mm-hmm. That's my, you know, that's where I can make the highest payoff activity I can do. And that's where I can make most of my money. So mm-hmm. I'm on the phone with sellers. I'm going out to meet people because I'm, you know, face to face. I'm pretty successful at getting people to, well, I mean, we make fair deals as it is, but I mean, you know, I'm building rapport. I'm pretty good at building rapport with people. I've my whole life I've had different experiences, so I can, whatever somebody's done or does or whatever, I can relate.
Yeah.
And boom, you know, and so we do a lot of deals. I mean, you see the boards, we can talk about those, but yeah. I do a lot of short sales. And I also do negotiating a short sales for realtors here locally. One interesting thing I did was I got in got certified by the state of Ohio to teach CE classes to realtors.
Oh, wow.
On short sales. So I go to different brokerages around here and teach them for free CE and pitch the business as well. Mm-hmm. So, and then I build, you know, a big list of realtors. And I got them on my AWeber follow-up so I can hit them up for deals or whatever.
Dude, plus, so
constant follow-up, you know, I put them on a 17 or 18 email chain and
yeah.
So they're always, I'm always top of mind.
So I want to drill into that a little bit more. So guys and gals, those of you who watch the Carrot Cast, we always want to pull out one to two, maybe three quick tips from the entrepreneurs on here. And I want to drill into that one a little bit more, Ryan. So I know you're a marketer. You and I were talking on the phone, your previous profession, just kind of clue people in a little bit. You're a copywriter and we're not talking as in like someone sitting in a government office issuing copyrights. You know, we're talking like someone who writes the words and crafts the messaging in marketing to make it perform well and make it work. And for those of you, if you don't mind me sharing, for those of you,
sure.
You kind of brought up the Amish fireplace thing a little bit earlier. You know, just kind of behind wherever you guys listen to this, like Nod or whatever, if you guys have seen in the back of the Parade magazine in the newspapers or the back of your, you know, your airline magazine or whatever it is, the Amish fireplace ads, they've been around for a long time. Well, Ryan was one of the guys that was on that team crafting those marketing messages, helping with that, those marketing campaigns, really growing that business into what became a really big business. And the reason I want to drill down into this is because you've taken that same marketing mindset into your business. And you can tell that one example with the real estate agents.
Yeah.
What most people would do is most people are going to go, let me basically cold call a bunch of agents and say, hey, do you guys have short sales? Like that's what most people are going to do. They're going to go out there and try to get what they can get from that prospect, which you did. It's a lot more creative. It's more, you provide value first.
Right.
And then in exchange that you are the viable option to get it taken care of. So you went out there and got certified with the state to provide continuing education on this topic, on short sales or whatever it is. Now people don't have to go out there and go that far, but there is value that other people can provide to real estate agents or to other wholesalers or to rehabbers or whatever market they're going after.
Right.
And then you mentioned, that then once you get them in, you put them into a sequence. So kind of what's your thinking when you go after marketing channels like that? Are you thinking the whole thing through all the time? It's like, all right, how do I get in there and provide value so their guard is down so they don't feel like they're getting pitched? And then how do I continue to build that relationship and nurture it? Are you doing that with everything or is it just kind of this agent side or?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know. It just depends. I got a million ideas, right? So I got all kinds of different things. And I was going to start doing, I was going to send them a mail package with peanuts in it. And it was going to say something to the effect of why are you still working for peanuts on short sales or something like that? Because, you know, their dollar per hour on short sales is ridiculous. They're not experts on short sales and they need help. Yep. You know, but I thought, you know what, this is a better way to do it. It's the CE way. You know, you give them, like you said, you give them value. They get a free hour of CE, some snacks. Everybody loves food. And
they've got to get CE anyway. So they might as well do something
interesting.
Right,
they've got to get CE. And it's just, I can go, I'm being a direct marketer, I'm about utilizing what limited time I have to get to the, reach the biggest number of people, right? So, and one way to do that, you know, is go give talks to 25, 30 realtors at a time instead of doing the one-on-one channel. I don't like, I would, you know, and you can do it that way, certainly, but it's a lot easier and it uses a lot less time to do it on a massive scale. And you know, when you start thinking massively, you know, you can, that's what I love about direct mail and about, you know, Carrot and the internet is that you can reach a huge audience, you know, and not have to be directly involved. I mean, it's, it comes to you, you know.
So with that nurture sequence you're doing with the agents, what are you using tools wise for that? Are you using like AWeber or MailChimp or something like that?
Yeah, AWeber. I set up AWeber emails and you know, I try to make them fun. The agents get a lot of emails and so you got to stand out, right? So, I mean, I made it so hopefully they look forward to getting my emails, you know, like one of them is the cash truck is coming, you know, it's like the, instead of the ice cream truck when we were kids, you know, you hear that da 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 da. Well, now the cash truck's coming and here we are to buy property. Not only do I pitch them on short sales, right, but I talk to them about, okay, you guys have any properties that need, whatever reason, you need a cash buyer and you need to close in 7 days or 14 days or 2 days, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Or if you have rental properties, whatever, you know. So, because we do all kinds of different things, but the cash truck's coming and we got, you know, we got cash. So bring us your deals, you know, kind of a thing. So,
man,
yeah.
I was talking with Tom, one of our past guests, and Alex once again. They both mentioned that they said that their best cash buyers right now are coming from real estate agents. They said that the cash buyers that real estate agents are bringing are paying way higher prices than their normal cash buyer list.
Right.
And, I mean, I think a lot of people, a lot of wholesalers and house flippers discount the real estate agent these days because in a lot of the education that's out there, it's almost like they pit the agent against the investor, which it shouldn't be that way. I mean, there's agents provide value, in one way and then the real estate investors provide a similar set of value, but it's completely different offering. And with them, I mean, the stuff that you're doing right there, so you're having the potential of getting a short sale if there is one. You're having the potential of buying the properties if there is one that fits your criteria. And you're probably having the potential of getting their cash buyers who are looking to buy properties if you have properties you're looking to sell.
Yeah, we've done that. And, you know, I'm glad to pay the 3%, you know, half of, you know, usually it's 6% here in Ohio. But, you know, I'll pay the 3% all day long, if, especially if they bring somebody, like you said, who's going to pay me, you know, even more. And that's when we started this call, I mentioned that property where I wholesaled one and I did 20,000. Well, that was a realtor who brought that cash buyer, just like you just talked about.
Yep. That's a big deal.
I
love it. Dude, so let's go into, I'm not sure if this is going to be a quick tip, but I'm just curious about your boards in the back. So if this turns into a quick tip, amazing. If not, I know it's going to be a lot of value. So I can't see the words on the boards. So I don't think anybody else will be able to either, which is cool.
All right.
all of your private information now is not out there, but we can see the grids on there. So how is your office set up? If this is your office or whatever, how is it set up? What do you do with those boards and how is it helping you? Like, how are you setting up your workflow there?
Well, when I started with one board. Okay. Mm-hmm. And what I would do is put all the deals on there, every single one of them. And it has address, type of deal, cost, or ARV, cost, repairs, the source, I track the source of where I got that lead or that deal from, and the status of it. And what I found out was I got one board and it filled up very quickly, right? It filled up right away. I'm like, okay. And then when it got full, I stopped getting leads.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, I got to get some more boards.
It's karma, man. It was karma. That's funny.
So I got two more boards and I switched them around. So now I got one board just dedicated to short sales. So I got about 10 of those going right now. You know, I have one just on leads, you know, that I got to follow up on because you mentioned earlier, before the call, I guess we were talking a little bit about follow up and in leads, on leads because most investors don't even follow up. I mean, so, you know, I got a whole board for follow up. I got to call these people back for whatever reason or owe them something or, you know, I made them an offer and they didn't respond yet or whatever situation it is. And then these are, you know, deals I'm working on that are already under contract and when I got to close them by.
Cool.
So, I have 37 properties under contract.
Dude, that's insane.
One of them is a package deal, though. I mean, one's a big package deal, but still.
That's awesome, man. So on that, you mentioned you've got your lead source, your source where you did each deal. Kind of what are you finding in today's market is working really well? I know you're using Carrot, and I hopped in there earlier, and you're getting consistent leads, but I know you're also doing other marketing. So what kind of marketing mix is working for you right now in this market?
I pretty much tried everything, right? So I just, but direct mail is my number one lead gen. Mm-hmm. And I actually, because I've written the advertorial style marketing before, I do some advertorial newspapers on buying real estate.
Oh, cool.
I can grab one. Hang on a second.
Oh, dude, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, so I don't know if you guys can see that or not, but.
Dude, that's awesome.
Local company buys houses in 7 days or less for cash. There's a picture of me holding out a bunch of cash. Uh-huh. And, so basically I get a ton of leads off of that. It's not cheap. You know, I kind of just roll that into the mix of it. Mm-hmm. I don't do a ton of it. You know, I do some every month, but not a lot. Main focus. Yeah.
Is that going in the newspaper, or are you taking that and like doing a tear sheet and mailing it out?
Newspaper mainly. I mean, I do have some ideas on the tear sheet, you know, with a handwritten post-it note or something on it. You know, you've seen those, but I don't know. I mean, you know, it's, you know, you could say, hey, just depends on the list, really. I mean, it's like, hey, Mike, or hey, Trevor, thought you might want to see this R or something, right? I mean, and on the post-it note, and here's somebody that needs to sell their house. And honestly, what happens in this is, you know, newspaper's an older demographic. So I get, you know, the people that are moving into assisted living, or they, you know, people that maybe is a probate situation, or they, you know, the parents passed away, or mm-hmm. friends passed away, or whatever. And, you know, I get good deals out of the newspaper. At one point, newspaper was like right up there with direct mail, almost really? Tied. Yeah.
That's cool.
Oh, yeah.
So on the way that you did your marketing there. So, one thing a lot of investors will do is they'll go out there and they'll see, hey, all the other people in my market are using a postcard or a letter that looks like X. Like the yellow letters are huge these days.
Right. Sure.
And I hear from a lot of people that they work. But one thing that I love about what you did with that particular piece of advertising, because of your background, and this is something I want people to really take to heart, that as entrepreneurs, as real estate investors, whatever business you're doing, if you're selling toilets once again, if you're buying and selling real estate, you need to be a great marketer. And the cool thing is, once you have that knowledge and you're a great marketer, and you can craft a message that resonates with people, and that sells what you have to offer, you can translate that into any industry. I mean, Ryan, you can take that skill and go out there and sell whatever the heck you want to sell because you've learned and crafted that skill. So what do you think with that advertorial? And I've got some ideas in my mind, but I love from you, the guy who created that. Mm-hmm. What do you think in that advertorial is jumping out and making it work so well versus what kind of the run of the mill real estate investor might be doing with their marketing messaging right now?
Yeah. I mean, it's just different. You don't see it. Nobody else does it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm the only one. And you know, it costs, you know, a lot of real estate investors don't want to invest in marketing, right? They don't want to spend the money to market. And if you don't spend the money, you're not going to see the returns. I mean, you know, the MLS here is like I look at it, right? I get an email every day, and I've only gotten a few deals off the MLS here in the last year, but you know, there, it's so competitive because nobody else can do the marketing. And that's the real key, you know, for me, is being able to market to the right list at the right time with the right message. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I also, you know, I am able to buy the media because I have a media placement company. I'm able to buy the media, you know, on a standby rate instead of full rate card. So, even though it's pretty expensive still, you know, I mean, you know, I have quarter page ads versions of this and, different sizes too, but, in black and white, you know, I've tried a bunch of different stuff, but you know, it's just it's a stopper. You got to stop people in their tracks. There's people are looking at a million messages a day, right? Mm-hmm. And if you can jump off the page, you know, that helps. I mean, I've tried I'm sure you've heard of Gary Halbert, you know, famous copywriter. And so, you know, I had the bank give me all these like all these, like, bunch of ones. You know, I got, like, all these sitting in my drawer because I sent out dollar bill letters where I attach a dollar bill to the top, and it's like, hey, you know, there's two reasons I sent this to you. One's to get your attention, and the second one reason is, you know, I need to talk to you about getting you more money for your house or whatever kind of thing. It's got to be different.
You see a good response from those, or?
I've done those mainly to people that are behind, you know, to fork the nod list and the notice of defaults here in Ohio.
Yep.
And, you know, it's hard to get a hold of. Those people are getting a lot of messages, and they just, most of them have their head stuck in the sand. They don't know what to do. They're just like locked, you know, they don't know who to trust, and they don't know what to do. And so I call a realtor, and that's why I focus mainly on the realtors now and that. But I am going to start sending some of those out to some other lists and see what happens. But
I like it.
So, your comments on yellow letters, man, I want to, if we can, go back to that real quick, because I've done lots of yellow letters, and you do get quite a bit of response, and then you can, but the key on the yellow letter is being able to tie that into what, you know, what you say.
Mm-hmm.
People are really curious when they get a yellow letter. I get a lot of people that just say, that letter, you know, that note you left in my mailbox, they don't even mention that it was mailed to them, right?
Oh,
so it's really personable, but at the same time, they're not very qualified. You know, depends on who you're sending it to, of course. But I don't know. It's hard for me to. I don't get as many translate into sales. What I do is I have a real global real estate branded white letter almost, and with the website and everything on it, and very professional. I got registered with a BBB, so I'm A+ with a BBB, and it's really a credible kind of a business, you know, letter. Now, I don't send it in, you know, you got to, the first key, right? Gary Halbert always said this, is people have two piles of mail. Pile A is the mail that's going to get opened, and pile B is the stuff you're just throwing away. And you got like a second to make that decision.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever you're doing your mailings, right, I always do it in different kinds of envelopes, but handwritten address, live stamp. And I usually don't put a return address on, but so people, the curiosity, they have to open that. And they can't read your message unless they're going to open open the mail.
Yeah. And so, one thing you mentioned, so rather than sending out the yellow letter, I mean, which you've been sending those out to, but you said that the qualification on the leads are just a little bit different. So you're sending out literally like a letterhead. It's got letterhead on top and then a typed letter, or is it handwritten?
Typed.
Okay. Typed and then handwritten envelope, real stamp. Okay, cool. I like it.
Yeah,
I like it.
Hand sign. I mean, usually I try to hand sign them, but if I'm signing out thousands of them, I have a blue, you know, signature that I had that I can put in the letters. Yeah. So yeah, it's like a letterhead, but it's not on an actual letterhead. You know, it's just my logo and some my company information and stuff. And you know, if you send it to the right list, you get a good response. I mean, I get consistently 6, 7, 8 to 10% response rate.
I think one of the keys there, man, and this right here, I think we have been talking about that second quick tip there, is really your messaging, how you cut through the clutter in your marketing. The first one with the advertorial. So if you guys are listening to the podcast version of this and you don't see the video, go to our website oncarrot.com/blog and you'll be able to see the link to the podcast. Go find the one for Ryan Berry, Berry, and you'll be able to watch the video of it and kind of see when he held up that advertorial. You'll be able to see the visual of it. And also subscribe to our podcast on iTunes if you're listening to this, and give us a rating, or subscribe to it on YouTube if you like the video format. But an advertorial basically is, it looks like it's an article in a newspaper. It's not this big old graphical thing that looks like an ad. It looks like a newspaper article.
Right.
And a lot of marketers these days will call it native advertising, where the advertising looks like it's native in that publication. So on Facebook, the stuff that works the best tends to be the stuff that looks like the stuff that people would actually engage in on Facebook, not something that would look like an ad. That's the advertorial. They look at it as an article, so their minds aren't shutting down saying, oh, ad, you know, like lights going off. It's going, hey, this is interesting. And the way you wrote the headline, if they have that problem and if they need to sell their house, they're going to read it because it looks like content. And then with your letter, the thing that was really interesting there is I'm kind of guessing here, but my guess is that the reason it's probably working so well is because everyone else is doing that yellow letter. Everyone else is doing that very kind of, it's very, I'm going to use the word unprofessional, as in it doesn't look like it came from this professional company. It looks like a dude sat there and wrote it down. But I think because you are taking the other approach, and there's so much clutter out there, that they're looking at it as, oh my gosh, these people are actually legit. Like these people right. actually have a business out of it. They're rated by the Better Business Bureau, which is a huge tip right there. And they're probably going to be more credible than the person who wrote the 10 other letters I got over here of the handwriting. So that's kind of my conjecture on it, why it might be working so well, which is really cool.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think I consistently see people checking me on, you know, checking out the website, mm-hmm. right? So there's another credibility thing. I mean, go to any of the Carrot websites that I have set up and, you know, I mean, you got to be a legit company to have a website like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they check out the Facebook, the LinkedIn. I mean, they're validating who you are and what you're doing. And, you know, is this a scam? I mean, if you get those yellow letters, it's like, what, you know, is this a scam? That's the first, what is this about? You know, and that's what curiosity makes them call, but makes them unqualified as well. I mean, they don't even, you know, half the people I talk to off the yellow letters don't even want to sell their house. They're just curious of why I sent them that letter.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah. That makes sense.
Now, you know, the letter is personalized that I use. It has the address, their name, you know, explains what we do and how we do it and, you know, the benefits to them. I mean, mm-hmm. and it works great.
So. I love it. And for those of you listening and watching, I've got my little boy Colton here in the room with me. So he's kind of bouncing the balls around, eating some lunch and whatnot. And that's part of the beauty of working for yourself. You can do what you want to do. So which is cool. So Colton's here hanging out, and then we're going to head out of here after this and go finish up our lunches. But I've got one more question for you, then we'll wrap up this call. Dude, this has been awesome value. And like I said, anyone listening to this on the podcast version, make sure you give us a rating on iTunes. Make sure you subscribe so you can get the other podcasts that we have coming after this. And if you guys are watching this on YouTube, subscribe to the YouTube channel because we're putting these out every week. So I want to kind of shift over into a little bit on the online side because I know that was what kind of spurred the conversations back in November. You closed that deal that was an internet lead through your Carrot, right. your Carrot site, which I think it was a $33,000 check or so. And then when we talked last week, you mentioned that, there we go. So that's the one from November, 33 grand. I love it, dude. I love it.
Yep, so those that's
you,
the one.
So those of you who are just listening audio, Ryan just showed a check from that November deal with 33 grand, but so what part of the mix does the online side play? Because the reason I want to point this out is you mentioned direct mail is your number one, sometimes newspaper up right up there number two, but you're still closing a deal every other month or so with the online side. And
right.
I want people to understand that this is a marketing mix. You know, you're not relying on just direct mail. You're not relying on just X, just real estate agents, or just Carrot. You're saying, you know what? What's the marketing mix that I can invest some dollars or time into and get a good ROI? Right. So how does the online side with Carrot kind of mix in there? Is it getting a really good ROI? Is it something that you had some setup and now it's just kind of on autopilot and turning some leads for you that you close in deals every couple months? Or how's it working out?
Yeah, so I mean, I think I started, March of last year, March of 2015, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I went through the 3 leads per day program and did everything you guys said. And I also did some other stuff, you know, as far as having individual page sites for keywords. So like, you know, instead of just having the We Buy Houses, different cities, you know, I got like 20 different cities on that, but I also put in Sell My House Fast. Mm-hmm. So I got, I don't know, I probably have 70 different paid individual pages. How I noticed that through the keyword search, the keywords, house buyers, you know, was like a number one keyword for me. So I put in house buyers in every city too. So now that comes up. So if you type in anything around me here locally, I'm like the number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I mean, I did the YouTube videos, you know, because when people come to search, you know, they have an immediate need. And just last week, honestly, I think I told you about this one. I mean, I got a call last Monday or Tuesday from a lady who was out of town. You know, she was at a house here locally. Her brother, she said, my brother, the executor's from Texas. I'm from Columbus, which is about 2 hours away from here. Mm-hmm. And we're in town for three more days. And my dad passed away and we need to sell the house.
Yeah.
So I said, well, I'm available right now. You guys available? Are you at the house? Yeah, we'll be here. Come on over. So
that's cool.
Lock that house up. And actually I have another, I have that one sold for $20,000 more. So just in 2 deals off a Carrot, I'm going to be over $50,000.
That's awesome.
And I mean, at $99 a month, I mean, 50,000 divided by 99, I mean, that pays for 505 months of my Carrot. And I'm sure I'm going to keep getting more and more deals. Now, I do pay-per-click, and I probably spend a couple $100 in pay-per-click a month. I'm not, you know, super heavy in it. It's kind of on autopilot right now, really, until I get some more staff. And I do want to do Facebook retargeting, because I know I'm getting quite a bit of, traffic, but I'm not seeing – I mean, I'm getting quite a bit of – especially on other marketing, you know, different people want to respond in different ways, right? So yeah. Some people want to pick up the phone call. Some people, like my wife, she hates being on the phone. So she would rather fill out a web form, right? And so I get a lot of people from other marketing that go out to my sites and key in all their information, and boom, I get an email. So, you know, here's a lead. So it's like you said, it's about having all this different mix. And,
I like it.
And, you know, Carrot and websites made it so easy, right? I'm more of a print guy, right? That's why I focus on direct mail and the advertorials and that sort of thing. And I'm somewhat tech, you know, I'm not a super tech like you guys, but I can, I'm a good user, I guess I would call myself pretty good user. And, so I just, you know, I'm pretty good at following directions. So I just followed the directions, and man, I am so happy that I'm number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I mean, and you know, nobody can touch it. I mean, if there's a lead out here, it's coming to me. Yeah. I mean, they're going to click on me.
And dude, you put in the work, like you mentioned. You went through our training, put in the work, took some time. It wasn't immediate. It wasn't the first month or second month or third month or probably even fifth month. But it took some time, and you put it to work. So I've got one question for you on that, then toss it over to you. Any last comments, and we'll wrap this up, because we've had some amazing value on the marketing side for everyone here in a big way. So If you didn't have a Carrot, let's say, what do you think is the biggest thing that you would be missing? Or what is the biggest thing that you love with Carrot that would be really hard if you went to go develop your own website or something like that?
I mean, it's just the time. I mean, I don't have time, you know, I don't have time or the expertise to develop that, or I'd have to pay thousands and thousands of dollars to have that, you know. And with Carrot, just the sign up fee, I can be immediately, you know, credible and working my way towards the top rankings and within a few months. And it's just so worth it. I mean, especially when you're pulling deals like this, I mean, you know, and these aren't the only ones that I've done off of Carrot either. I mean, there's, you know, every so often there's a rental or 5,000, you know, it's like 5,000 pop here, 5,000 pop there. And, you know, those things pay the bill, those kind of little 5,000 or 3,000, those pay the bills every month. Right. I mean, they just keep you going, but you know, it's allowed me to be more successful, more credible, and, you know, have another avenue for people to respond to me. And like, if, you know, one of the things in direct marketing is you want to give people as many ways to respond as possible, right? I mean, call me, fax me. That's what I tell these realtors. Call me, fax me, you know, send me a piece of mail. I don't care how you give me a lead. Just give me the lead.
Yep.
And, you know, so it's been awesome. I mean, I couldn't be happier, really. I mean, so I thank you for putting this awesome product out here.
Man, I thank you for implementing it. And that's the thing. It's like we put it out there, but it's still up for people to either pay someone to do all the work or to do the work, to implement it. And, you did the work, man. It's paying off. So, dude, we're hugely appreciative of you and hugely appreciative of having you on this call. And like I said, I was kind of curious where we were going to lead to content-wise in the call, but I'm so happy it really dove into the marketing side. And which is really cool. And, dude, I'm insanely happy, at the success you guys are having. And one last question. What's next? What's next for you guys? What are you excited about that's on the horizon that you're like, you know what? We're building this business. We're successful. But this business is going to help us fuel into X passion, X mission, whatever it is. What's next?
Right. Yeah, man. I mean, well, there's lots, right? Anybody that has dreams and goals, first of all, set your dreams and, you know, and your goals up and just go for it, man. I mean, you got it. Life's short. You just got to go for it. I mean, so lots of different things. You know, I'm really having a lot of success in probates right now too. Absentee owners, probates, and short sales. But I'm partnered up with a new guy, and we're looking at getting like a thousand rentals.
Really?
Yeah, crazy numbers. But beside all that, right, I got this. I'm glad you kind of – it was a perfect segue. But I'm thinking about starting this up, reimarketer.com.
I love it, dude.
And just to help people on the non-technical, you know, the non-technical print side of marketing on this business, because it's been a lot, you know, this has really been allowed me to live the life of my dreams right now and be my own boss, have my own schedule, do everything, you know. And really, I mean, how many people are making this check right here? This was, I sold it in 2 days.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, 33,000 in 2 days. I mean, a lot of people don't make that in a year. Yeah. And this business you can make that kind of money. You know, and I'm not, you know, extraordinary by any means. I came from a very humble, you know, background. So mm-hmm. you just got to apply yourself and do it and set the goals. And yeah, we could go on forever, man. I mean, no, but, you know, the mindset stuff we were talking about and, you know, you gotta get out of your own way. I mean, really, because I had a lot of, you know, you gotta forgive everybody that's ever done anything to you in your past and get past that and quit worrying about that stuff and just move on. And, you know, and you deserve it. Everybody out there, you deserve to have the life of your dreams. You just gotta go do it. Just think you deserve it. And because, you know, when I first started this, I wouldn't call people back. Whatever. I don't know why. You just get in your own way and you stop yourself and from being successful. And maybe who knows what it is, but it's been a journey and it's, you just keep going and have persistence and man, that, you know, you do a couple deals a year and you can, you know, if that's enough to pay your bills and do what you want, then you can do whatever you want, like have your kids in your office the rest of the year, you know, or do whatever. My son's next door.
Colton's over there on the orange ball at the moment.
And
he's going, Dad, when can we finish our lunch? So I'm going to bounce and grab lunch. But man, the message you finished with was amazing. I appreciate the heck out of your time and also just sharing your story and sharing your journey. Cause I know it helps a lot of people, both newer investors and investors who are wanting to take it to the next level in a big way. And let's stay connected for sure about the REI marketer thing, man. You've already got my mind spinning on some stuff that we can work on together. And where can people find you to connect with you if they want to connect with you, do a deal with you or whatever? Where can people find you to connect with you?
Yeah. So, I mean, you can go to, globalrealestatesolutions.com or 7daystosold.com. You know, my email is rberry@globalrealestatesolutions.com. So, you know, just shoot me an email and, you know, we can go from there. I mean, I'm always open to help people and, you know, one of my, you know, you just got to pay. I'm going to start paying it back, man. I mean, it's really been, I've had great mentors and coaches and, you know, I just got a big need to pay it back like you guys do. And this REI marketer, I think is a big way. There's a void out here in the marketplace where people, you know, they don't do, everybody's doing the same things, yellow letters. And, you know, there's other ways to do it that are more, you know, less time consuming. They get more qualified leads and you can, you really can make a great, great living. I mean, so.
Dude, we're going to work together for sure.
So, all right, Ryan, cool.
I appreciate you coming on the call. Motorcycle Drive By. Everyone, go and rate us on iTunes. Go to oncarrot.com/blog and find our past episodes if you want to look at the video version of this. Because if you're listening to the podcast, we do have a video version of it. And keep on spreading the word about this podcast as we want to spread this out to as many people as possible to really empower you to go and do and make your bigger impact in the world, leveraging real estate and leveraging the web. So, Ryan, appreciate the heck out of you, man. Have an amazing week. And thank you, everyone. Sayonara. And Colton says bye as well. Say bye, buddy.
Bye, everybody.
See you.